All right. Luke chapter 12. Paul is here this morning, isn't it? We neglected to think that this morning we wouldn't need the air conditioning. So I came in this morning and it was 53 degrees in here. Forgot to switch it from air to heat from yesterday to today. So it's a little warmer now. It's into the 60s in here now. It'll warm up, get a little warmer by the time we're done here. So we appreciate you being here early to help us warm up the building. Those that come in at the regular church hour won't even know that it was cool when you got here this morning. They're going to miss the blessing of warming up the church. Luke chapter 12. We're going to be in verse number 35. And we're continuing looking at the return of Christ. And this morning we're going to look at the counsel concerning His return. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately." Last week we looked at a parable that the Lord taught, and this one is going to follow. It's not a parable here, but it's the same thing. It's an illustration that teaches a truth. He's telling a story about a lord or a master that went off to a wedding. And while he was gone to the wedding, the servants were to prepare, whether just preparing for his return or preparing the marriage feast, whatever it is. While their Lord was gone, they were to prepare. And the Lord used this story to teach His disciples and teach those that were listening how they ought to, as servants, be prepared for the Lord to return. And so He's giving some counsel concerning His return in this story. The problem in our day is that many folks are not looking for Jesus Christ to come back. Did we think about it yesterday? Did we live with the conscious awareness of the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any time? While we went through the course of our day and the activities of our day, which are natural for us to do, was there a thought in our mind that the Lord could come back today? The Lord wants us to have that thought in mind. Not like many who say the end is coming and walk around in fear, but those that realize the Lord could come back and then be prepared and rejoicing for Him to come back. And so the Lord is going to give us some counsel here in these verses. If we want the blessings of His return, the Bible calls His return the blessed hope. If we want the blessings of His return, then we need to be ready for His return and watching for His return. The world isn't looking for it. Sad to say, the majority of Christianity is not looking for it. We're looking for what God will give us, how God will bless us, what we can do. But we're not looking for His return. And so the Lord gives some counsel here about how to prepare for His return. Let's look first of all in verse 35 and verse 36 in our outline this morning, letter A, the readiness. The readiness. The Lord is going to tell us what is necessary to be ready for His return. There should be some things that are done to get ready. He uses the example again here of the servants waiting for the return of their master. He's gone off to a wedding. Now we can see in this story, we can see a type of the second coming of Christ, not the rapture, but the revelation, if you know how to separate the two. After the rapture, we're taken up to heaven and there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we all meet with the Lord. We're a bride presented to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will be the bride presented to Christ. After that marriage, He comes back. We come back with Him. He comes back down here to the earth to set up His earthly kingdom. All right, that's where this picture fits in of His second coming. Coming back from the wedding, coming back and looking to see that His servants are preparing and ready for His return. So let's look, number one, at the preparation. The preparation for His return. He says in verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning." There are some things that we are expected to do if we're looking forward to His coming. Ladies, it's much like you're expecting company at your house. You know what's going to happen. is going to get cleaned, it's going to get dusted, things are going to be put away. The husband's going to be expected to pick up the stuff he throws around the house. Every other day he just gets away with it. Now he's supposed to pick it up. The kids are supposed to pick up their toys and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because someone is coming. There's an expectation. There's a preparation made. I have noticed with my wife that even when the house, to me, looks acceptable and clean, it's not good enough for company. There's things that have to be done. There's things when we're expecting something, when we're expecting especially a qualified guest, we're going to make sure everything's top-notch. Well, the Lord is coming back, and we are to prepare. How do we prepare? Well, it says, let your loins be girded and your lights burning. Notice small letter A, the loins prepared. The loins prepared. Now, this is a phraseology that's a little bit foreign to us, but not really so. When it said, let your loins be prepared here in verse number 35, or your loins be girded about, you understand that back in the Old Testament days, everybody wore the long flowing robes. And as ladies who wear dresses know, it's very hard to do any kind of manual labor with a long flowing robe on. So they would take that robe and tuck it around their, they would bring it up and tuck it around and kind of their sash or their belt, they tuck it in that belt so that they had the freedom of movement, they could get around. In other words, they're preparing for manual labor. They're preparing for work. If we wanted to put this into 21st century American colloquialism, we'd say this, roll up your sleeves. Let your sleeves be rolled up. That's how we would modernize that phrase. Let your loins be girded. Roll up your sleeves. In other words, don't just be sitting back and doing nothing. Get to work. Get busy. Let your loins be girded about. All right? The Lord expects us in preparation for His coming to be busy and working and laboring, getting ready for Him to come, not waiting for Him to show up. You know, there's those that like to set the date for the rapture and say, the Lord's coming back at this certain time. Well, you know what that means? That means you can sit back and rest until that time. Then when that time gets near, hurry up and get busy doing something. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. Keep your place there. Look over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's why the Lord said, no man knows the day nor the hour of His return. Because if you knew when He would return, it's kind of like being on the job and working in the back part of the building or the back part of the lot or whatever. And then you hear the boss coming, and so all of a sudden the work volume picks up, it increases. Why? Because the boss, you can tell the boss is coming. All right, the Lord is telling us we should be expecting His coming any time. We should have our sleeves rolled up, our loins girt about. We should be laboring, understanding He could come around the corner any minute. And so we need to be busy, not doing it just when we know He's watching. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse number 6. The Bible says in verse number 5, it says, being obedient to our Master with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. There's something in us that we all step it up a little bit when we know somebody's watching. It's just a natural tendency. Well, not that we're sloughing at other times, but when we know somebody's watching, we just pay more attention. And the Lord says about His coming, we should not be serving Him with eye service, but we should be serving Him from the heart. We are to be prepared for His coming. We're to roll up our sleeves. We're to gird our loins. We're to be busy working for Him. Number two, or small letter B, the lights prepared. The lights prepared. He said in verse 35, your loins be girded about and your lights burning. We studied last week about those, or a couple of weeks ago, about those virgins that went out to meet the Lord when He came back. And five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. And remember, the wise ones were the ones that not only had oil in their lamp, but they had a reserve pouch there. In case the lamp burnt out, they had more oil to put in it. The foolish ones had enough oil in their lamp, and that's it. When it went out, it went out. And while they were out running around trying to buy more oil, the Lord returned. And so here the Bible says that we ought to have our lights burning. We ought to be prepared. We ought to be thinking ahead. We ought to be realizing He can return at any time. In this story, He returned at nighttime. He returned when it was dark out. And He wanted to see the lights of home. When He was coming back from that marriage and He came back to His house, He didn't want to see the door shut and the lights out and everybody slumbering and everyone sleeping. He wanted to see that people were awake and alert and and ready for His return. And so He said, let your lights be burning. Your light's burning. We're to be prepared. We're to be anticipating, not knowing when He might come back. Now, that doesn't mean, literally, you have to stay up all night long watching for the Lord to come back. But it does mean that during our waking hours, we should be preparing for Him to come back. Again, if the Lord came today at noon, we have done everything that we can do at that point in time. We can't do anything more. We can't rewind the clock. We can't go back and redo something. Whatever we're doing now, we're doing until He comes back. We should be busy living as if He could come back today. So the readiness for the Lord's return. The Lord says He's like a man that went out to a wedding and came back, and his servants had to be prepared. Number two, we see in verse 35 and 36 about the readiness, we see the patience. The patience. In verse 36 it said, and ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding. That wait for the Lord. Now again, we know this waiting, this word wait, does not mean sitting back and waiting. But it means working and waiting. It means doing something for Him. Now when we say working for the Lord, you know, you say, well, preacher, how do I work for the Lord? I mean, I have a full-time job, or I'm a housewife, or I do this, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm busy with all my stuff. We serve the Lord in the midst of our life. We serve Him by our faithfulness to Him. God doesn't require us 24/7 to be on our knees praying, or to be knocking on doors witnessing, or to be whatever it is, but He requires an attitude of servitude all throughout our day and all throughout our life, that we're living things for Him, not for ourselves. Now, we still are expected to take care of our daily responsibilities, fulfill our obligations, but at the same time be serving Him. The best way to serve Him is through the local church, by doing things together to reach the community for Christ, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to build one another up, that we're serving the Lord just by being here this morning, by being a blessing to one another, by getting into His Word. And the Lord wants us to do that with patience. Run the race, He says in Hebrews, with patience. There's a lot of those that just start out like a 100-yard dash. And after about 100 yards, that's all they got. They're done, and everybody else passes them by. They burn themselves out too quick. There's a lot of folks, God bless them, there's a lot of folks that get on fire for God, and they just get excited, and they go full steam, but they burn out quickly. I've seen it time and time and time again. Now, that doesn't mean that we slow down to pace ourselves necessarily, but it means this. We realize we're in this race, and this race is a long race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 5K or a 10K. It's not even a marathon. It's longer than 26 miles. This race is a long life. We're looking for Jesus. What can we do? Be consistent. Be faithful. Be regular. That's what God's asking us to do. To do it with patience. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return. They're looking, they're going to keep looking for it until it happens. They're not going to work so long and then take a break and then come back and work along like a lot of times we do in the Christian life. It's a consistent long-term thing. The Bible says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord. There's to be an attitude of expectation. It's not if He's going to come back, but simply when He's going to come back. And so the Lord is giving some counsel on our readiness for the Lord. There should be some steadfastness, some faithfulness, some earnestness in our service for God. So in our readiness, there's preparation, there's patience. Number three, the promptness. Prompt, P-R-O-M-P-T, prompt. That means on schedule, regular. The Bible says, when He cometh and knocketh, that He may open unto him immediately. You go to someone's house and you ring the doorbell, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait till they answer the door. Now that's usually because they're distracted, there's something else going on. But the Bible says that when that Lord comes back to His house, He doesn't want them to be distracted with other things. He wants them to be anxiously awaiting His return, and so that when He knocks on that door, they jump to it. We're going to see the time that He comes in verse number 27, or verse 38, excuse me, if He come in the second watch, or if He come in the third watch. Whenever the Lord comes, they need to be ready. At night, when the door is locked, they've got the lights burning. When He comes, He wants to find them ready. Find them watching. Find them anticipating His coming. So that's the readiness in verse 35 to verse 36. Then look, if you would, letter B, the rewards. In verse 37 and verse 38, the rewards. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. He's giving us some counsel about His return. In verse 35 and verse 36, it was counsel regarding the readiness for His return. In verse 37 and verse 38, counsel concerning the rewards for His return. The servants were blessed. The servants were blessed who were ready for His return. Now again, we're not talking about the saved and the lost. We're not talking about those who are going to heaven or those. We're talking about the group of servants. All those that belong to the Master. And yet some of them, like the five wise and five foolish, all belong to the Master. Here, these servants, some are prepared, some are ready, and some are not. Some are going to be blessed, and some are not going to be blessed. I don't know about you, I don't care about this world's wealth. I don't care what athlete or what movie star or what person makes $1 million a year. Doesn't affect me at all. But when you talk about the rewards that the Lord's going to give at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm interested. I'm in. I'm not worried about the things down here that perish. I'm not worried about the newest brand of this or the latest technology of that. I appreciate some of those things, but I'm just not into that. But rewards that the Lord's going to give so that one day when we get to heaven, we can take those rewards, those crowns, and lay them back at His feet, I'm in. That's what it's about. And so the Lord says, if we're ready for His return, blessed are those servants. We need to take the things that we've got and invest them, not so much in the world's things, so there's nothing wrong with that, so to speak, but investing them in the Lord's service, in doing things for Him. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. I think we all want to be blessed. I don't think anybody would say, I want to be cursed. Everybody would say, I want to be blessed of God. Well, you know how you get blessed? By watching for His coming. Because if you're watching for Him to come around the corner, then you're going to be conducting yourself in such a way that you're going to be blessed. Notice, number one, the pleasure. The pleasure. Blessed. Blessed are those servants. The word blessed has many different connotations to it. One is happiness. When you're blessed, you're happy. Now you can be blessed even in the worst circumstances and still be happy. You and I, when we're down in the dumps and discouraged or depressed, we need to look for those things that God has done for us that we realize we're blessed and it takes us out of the doldrums. Every one of us can look back at our life and say, when in this situation and that situation, at this time or at that time, in this need or that need, God came through and God did something for me. I am truly blessed. Now we want to say, well, I'm not as blessed as that person, blessed, and we're looking at outward indications of it. No, we're all blessed by God. You're here this morning. You've got a healthy body. You're blessed. There are folks in the nursing homes and hospitals and mental institutions that could wish that they were here this morning. You're blessed. You had the mode of transportation, however it was that you got here. You're blessed. Most of us, if not all of us, ate good before we left this morning and came to church. We're blessed. Most of us have some money in our pocket. It might not be a lot, but we've got either a money or we've got a debit card, not a credit card, but a debit card that takes it right out of the money we've got. We're blessed. We don't realize how much of the world does not have those things that we've got. We are blessed. And we need to be we need to do something with those blessings. We need to be watching for the return of the Lord. Blessed blessings is happiness. But more than that, it's peace. At peace. The Lord back on the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are ye when men revile you. Blessed, what is that? It means not only happy, but at peace. Not worried. Not caught up, not stressed, not fretting about everything that goes on around us. And it's not that we have a nonchalant attitude. It's not that we have an I don't care attitude. But it's just that we're at peace when we're blessed by God. Folks, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand how when things that happen to them happen to us, that for them they blow a gasket or get highly distressed about it. When you and I face those situations with the strength of God and we're at peace, we're blessed, they don't understand that. That's what will attract them to our God. When we handle those situations that way, blessed are they. That's why the Bible again in Titus chapter 2 verse 13 refers to the second coming of Christ as our blessed hope. When He comes back, we'll be at peace. We'll be truly happy when the Lord comes back. If we are servants that are watching for His return. If we're not watching for His return, if we're not preparing for His return, then when He comes back, it's not blessed. It's not blessed. It's not peaceful. It's not happy when He comes back and finds that we've done nothing. So the rewards, number one is the pleasure. Blessed. Number two, the promotion. The promotion. And remember we saw this in the story of all these stories tie together. The story of the men that were given, that was last Sunday, the men that were given the talents, the one man, or the pounds, I think, the pounds. They were given 10 pounds, and pounds again was a British currency. Let's use dollars for our understanding. One was given $10 or $10,000. Another was given five, and the other, all were given 10. But some of them invested. The one that got 10 made 10 more. One made 5 more with it. The other one buried the one that he had, buried what he got and didn't do anything with it. And the Lord rewarded the one that did the most with what he had. They were all given the same thing. They were all given the same amount, but they did different things with it. And they were blessed. They were promoted. The one that made his tenfold, the Lord said, give him 10 cities. The one that increased his fivefold, He said, give him 5 cities. The one that buried it in a napkin and hid it, the Lord said, take it away from him and give it to the one that had 10. There was a promotion given by what they did with what God gave them. Those that used those talents, those pounds, those abilities, that invested themselves in the work of God looking for His coming, were promoted. Give them 10 cities, give them 5. Here the Bible says in verse number 37, verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself. That's the Master, the Lord that's coming back. He shall gird himself and make them, the servants, to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Now, isn't that wild? That Master that went off for the wedding now comes back. The servants have been cleaning the house. They've been preparing it. They've been getting ready. When he comes back at a late hour, the lights are on, they're watching and anticipating his coming back, and when he gets there, the Bible says he tells them, now you sit down. That's unheard of. The master telling his servants, you sit down and I'm going to serve you. You sit down, I'm going to prepare the food. You sit at the table. You put your feet underneath the table. You relax. You sit back. I'm going to serve you. And the servants would say, not so, Lord. Sound familiar? Peter in John chapter 13, Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet to show you an element of servitude. And Peter said to the Lord, not so, Lord. The Lord doesn't wash the servants' feet. The Lord doesn't make the servants sit down at the table for him to serve them. And yet that's the promotion that will be given. Look, if you would, over at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 21. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, to him that overcometh. You know how you overcome? By faith. To him that overcometh, not by laboring, not by working, but by faith. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Joint heirs with Christ is the way the Apostle Paul wrote it. Joint heirs with Christ. By our service for him, we inherit a kingdom. We inherit cities, as it were. The Lord serves us. But that's all done by our service for him. We are saved by grace through faith. All that every person could lock that down and get it. We're not saved by our efforts. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our labors. We're not saved by our goodness. If those things could save us, why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? The answer is simple. Those things can't save us. But once we accept his payment for our sins by faith, it happened 2,000 years ago. You can't see it. You can't visualize it completely. But when we're saved by faith, by trusting him, now it's time to work. Not to get our salvation, but because he's given us by his grace salvation full and free. Now it's time to do something, to look for his return, to look for his coming back, and to be working and to laboring so that when he comes back, he can say, sit with me in my kingdom. James and John, remember, came and said, Lord, grant that we sit on the right hand and the left hand. The Lord said, that's not mine to give. But it is going to be given to sit with him on his throne according to Revelation 3:21. That's the promotion. Then notice back on our outline number 3, the perception. The pleasure of the rewards, the promotion, and the perception. In verse number 38, the Bible says, if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch. This is a military expression, so to speak. The second watch is the 3 hours before midnight. The third watch is the 3 hours after midnight. Again, these Jewish days and calendars went from 6 in the evening to 6 in the evening. So the first watch was from 6 to 9 p.m. The second watch from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch from midnight to 3 a.m. So the second and third watch are those late hours at night where nobody else is doing anything. Everybody else is kicking back and resting and relaxing and waiting. And again, we're not talking about literally 9 at night to 3 in the morning, but we're simply saying this. At that hour of the night when the Lord came and knocked on the door, it didn't wake them up, it didn't arouse them. They were anticipating and waiting for his coming. When they would have every excuse to say, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't hear you knocking. It was between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., sometime during that time when that Lord came back from that wedding. And yet when he knocked, they opened the door immediately. They were anticipating. They were waiting. They were ready. The Lord uses that example, not for us to stay up from 9 till 3 in the morning waiting for the Lord to come back, but the illustration of anticipation, that we should be ready and waiting at any moment he might come back. The Bible says, if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. He notices their readiness. When he comes back at that second or third watch and he's walking up the pathway to his house, he sees the lights are on. They're waiting for him. The door has been locked because it's 9 at night, between 9 and 3. It's a safety issue. But the minute he knocks, someone opens the door immediately. He doesn't have to wait for them to come. They're anticipating. They're ready for his return. So we see the readiness, the rewards, and then lastly, letter C, the reasons for the Lord's counsel concerning his return. Why did he counsel them to be ready? Now, I think we've already seen the answer just in what we've looked at here. But in verse 39, he says, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. He said, preacher, do you think the Lord is coming back today? No. Say, why? Because if I said yes, he wouldn't come. That verse says in an hour when you think not. So I'm going to say, no, I don't think he'll come. It's reverse psychology, I guess. Lord knows better. But he comes in an hour that you think not. You know that time when you're tempted? That time when your flesh or circumstances or peer pressure urges you to do something you know it's not the right thing to do? And you're contemplating it and thinking it over and you're wrestling with it and fighting the devil and trying to communicate with God and know that God's watching everything and God's going to see it when you do it. Just think about this. If the goodman of the house is to return right now and see what's going on, that's the reason that he's giving this counsel. For them to understand that it could be at any time, at any moment. At the third watch of the night, at the second watch of the night, it could be in the daytime. There's a good song. It could be at noon. It could be at twilight. It could be at midnight. He could come at any time. And those are the reasons to be ready. Notice verse number 39. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered through. Be ye therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh. See, all this is given to illustrate something different. This story is not, in essence, about the master that comes back from the wedding and finds his servants at midnight with the lights on, ready, anticipating. That's just the illustration. He uses that to say, be ready because the Son of Man cometh. Just like that goodman of the house, just like that master, that Lord that went away to the wedding, he himself is coming back. He's not sending a substitute back to say, go tell him I'm coming. He's not sending a warning shot out there and say, hey, run ahead of me and go knock on my door and let them know I'm coming. No, he's coming himself. The goodman returned. The goodman of the house. The master is coming back. Notice the number one, the person. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. This is not like the coming of some earthly celebrity. Remember several years, many years ago, President George W. Bush came to Cambridge. He spoke at Don Coss Field. I remember the day. I remember standing in that long line outside the stadium in a drenching rain. And I remember being soaking wet by the time we got in there. And everything in Cambridge was top-notch. I mean, the streets got cleaned, everything got fixed up, everything was nice, everybody's ready. We made it look the best we could because someone special was coming here. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. How much more so for Him should we be prepared for what's come, for His return? How much more should our loins be girded and our lights be burning? Knowing that the Lord Himself is going to come. As we said before, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's not sending a representative. He's not sending Michael the archangel to come back and claim the saints and take them home. He's coming Himself in His own person. The reason that we ought to be ready for His return is because He's coming Himself, the person of it. Number two, the period. Again, verse number 40 says, in an hour when you think not. An hour when you think not. When you least suspect it. That's what He's going to show up. What is He likening it to? To a thief? No, the Lord's not a thief. But He likens to that. If you knew when the thief was going to come, what would you do? Well, you'd be on guard of your house. I did overseas many years ago, but I've talked to folks here in the States that have had their houses broken into when they weren't home. What a terrible feeling it is. You feel violated. Someone has entered into your home, into your private space while you weren't there. And boy, if you'd have known, I remember I worked with a fellow and somebody came in through the little basement window and came in and got into his house. If he'd have known that guy was coming, I got news for you. It'd have been a different turnout. That guy wouldn't have walked out with some of the tools and some of the stuff. He'd have walked out with some lead, but not the ones that he stole in his hands. If we knew the thief was coming, we'd be ready. The Bible says the Son of Man is coming. And we need to be watching, anticipating, ready, knowing that He's coming, expecting His coming. He said He comes in an hour when you think not. We ought to be at a high level of alert. Or is it code orange or code red or whatever the color is? We ought to be at a high level of alert. The Lord's coming back. Those terrorist threats will put on different colors and say, okay, it's this level alert. Boy, it ought to always be red alert right now. The Lord could be back anytime. And then lastly, number three, the peril. The reason we ought to be ready for His coming is because of the peril. Now don't turn me off yet. The peril is not the danger of hellfire and judgment in this story. The master of the house is coming back. All his servants are in the house. All right, none of those servants are going to be cast into outer darkness. They're all his servants. But when he comes back, some of them are ready, some of them are not. Some are wise, some are foolish, some have invested, some have not invested. All these stories the Lord told has gone together. And there is a peril for those that were not anticipating His coming. Number one, they're not blessed. They're not blessed. But what happens to a person when that thief comes and steals something? You know what they lose? They lose their valuables. They weren't looking for that thief to break in, and because they weren't prepared and ready and not watching, they lose their valuables. You and I that are servants, that are not watching for the Lord to come back. When He comes back, if we're unaware, if we haven't been anticipating, if we haven't been laboring, we're going to lose valuable rewards. We're going to lose an inheritance. We're going to lose crowns. We're going to lose, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Doesn't mean we don't get to go to heaven. We're under the blood of Christ. But as faithful servants, we need to be watching and working and laboring and serving and in love with Him. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, none of these other things would be a problem. Serving Him wouldn't be an issue. Watching for Him, we would be anticipating Him. So the Lord says, "Be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." Could the Lord come today? Absolutely. You think He will? Probably not. Good. Good. That means when you don't think He'll come. You know, that's why it bothers me when some great tragedy happens in the world and everybody's attention is drawn to it, and then Christians are all saying, "Well, maybe this just means the Lord's going to come back." That probably means He's not going to. Because you're looking at the calamities and saying, "Well, surely the Lord has to come back now. Surely this event or this thing's going to bring the Lord back from heaven." No, it's not. It's not in an hour that you think. It's when you think not. Watch and be ready. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank You again for this story told by the Lord Jesus.